I'm your host, Amana L. Bay, and today's topic is The Black Man, Part 2. And we are going to come to you today from in the book, The Black Woman's Guide to Understanding the Black Man by Scheherazade Ali. You can reach me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com. Or you can call me directly at area code 904-303-9061. Let us go directly into the Black Man Part 2. And today we're going to start with his religion. The sister states in Chapter 9, the black man is a very spiritual human being, not necessarily attached to a church or specific faith, but he does believe himself to be connected to the Supreme Being, now whom they now refer to as the Creator. The first black church is recorded to have been erected in 1787. Prior to that time, black men preached and worshiped outdoors and called it the Invisible Church. And she goes on to say at these church services, there were always much mourning and crying for the bad times and much singing and praising for the relief they expected to receive after they died. The American religion that the slave master gave to the black man to replace his own is called Christianity. I would like to stop right there for a moment, and I would like to point out some things here. The sister is saying that prior to black people receiving religion, Christianity in the form of religion, that he had something of his own already. But what she's pointing out is that that was replaced by what we now have today as religion. And I just want to make sure that we have a clear understanding that we did have something of our own prior to Europeans forcing this thing upon us. She goes on to say the major thrust of this religion was to teach love of your enemies and servitude to your master, to keep the slave as submissive as possible to the master. The slant of the teachings given to the black man were mostly taken out of the New Testament, which allowed the slave master to quote from the Lord Jesus word directly. Jesus, the star of the Holy Bible, was the God the slave was instructed to believe in. He was also the God used to put intense supernatural fear in him, because for a long while he was invisible and there were no pictures of him distributed to the slave, so Jesus' word had to be translated to the slave using fire and brimstone to force him to believe. The Bible used the King James Version set forth in 1611, several hundred years after Jesus' death. This text does not profess to be an involvement in religion in America. Must be addressed to partially explain how he got off track from his own roots. He had practiced many kinds of religious expression in his homeland. He had been brought from a very large continent that took up 25% of all the land on earth. He did now know how small America was, or that Africa was over four times as large as the USA. At that time, he did not know his homeland by the name of Africa. At that time, he called it Asia, as he called all the lands of the entire earth. The now African continent, named after a European warrior, Alexander Africanus of Greece. Some of our black male scholars should research this information to find out if there are any other names used for this continent before Europeans named it. Nevertheless, the original slave was put through a battery of tests to ensure that his own coming generations would have no memory of their former religion. Now, this is very, very interesting because this is something that we need to pay close attention to involving religion. Now, I just wanted to point that out because it is very, very important for us to understand that we did have something prior to religion being forced upon us, and I think that it would do us good if we find out what that is and we go and use that and return the religion that was forced upon us by the children whose forefathers were the murderers of our ancestors. Now, let's go on here. She goes on page 175 to talk about black men who date or marry white women. She states that up until 1967, black men couldn't marry white women in the South. It was against the law. As physical institutions become less threatening due to desegregation rulings, the social institutions also crumbled, and black men began to stalk the white woman in droves in an attempt to finally get their hands on the one female they had been denied. Be different, and to prove to whites that he was serious about integration and to improve his status in the world. I would like to stop at that point and say that was one of the biggest mistakes that he has ever made in the history of this world. The release of Spike Lee's movie, Jungle Fever, reopened this issue about whether or not black men should sexually integrate with white women. The recent census discovery that over 60% of black females are single, widowed, separated, and divorced confirms both the shortage of black men and their absence from the home. The University of Chicago released their own deadly stats from a private study. The problem of the black man in America are known all over the world, and they are ignored for the most part. The black family is shattered. Black men and boys continue to die, mostly at the whims of each other. And neither the sisters or the brothers have collectively confronted these tragic happenings. Black men who historically have exerted special strength in times of national conflict are usually quite disinterested, appearing, and she goes on to say that black women, distracted by the looming responsibilities of trying to be both mother and father, also have abandoned ship, preoccupied with black women, and seek out to interracial personal relationships with white women. This is something that we need to address as well. She goes on to say some of them considered it a novelty, something to brag about, a way to gain notoriety and to go against the norm. Intermingling socially with whites has gained more acceptance by placing black men and white women in product ads. Television sitcoms and dramatic series have also made it seem more natural looking. White men thrust into fictional situations where they are irresistibly drawn to black women for sexual encounters. Black men are portrayed in roles where they are matched with white females as a natural occurrence. They are even seen kissing white women and wallowing in the bed with them. Black youth are drawn into it at social functions in their schools or colleges, and visual messages suggesting interracial interest is premiered in many of their rap music videos shown on cable around the clock. It is seemingly all around us, unavoidable, at least, and a natural evolution of the growing betterment and cohesion between blacks and whites. Some see it as a cure-all for race relation problems. Many black men do not seem to care what kind of white woman they mate with. She can be ugly, bloated, destitute, and look like the shaggy dog but it seems as long as she is white-skinned, he is happy. The higher-class black man attempts to indoctrinate his white female prize into blackness by teaching her to dress, talk, and dance black. Others of them do not carry any part of their blackness into interracial relationships and instead try to pretend that they are regular all-American white boy in a black face costume. Contemporary opinions suggest that love conquers all and that mate selection is a private individual choice and racial separation is an old-fashioned, outdated idea that can't survive in modern times. This is very, very interesting information that the sisters brought forth, and I think we do well to pay close attention to what is being brought forth here today, because this has not solved anything. The Creator made it perfectly clear in the Old Testament that all races should remain among themselves. And not intermingle. And since we have done that, we have created some things here now in situations that is the Creator did not tell us to do. Let's look at the following here on page 177. She states, interracial love, the mixing of various breeds through sexual intercourse is the first of all against all the laws of nature, which supports self-preservation of every life form, whereby each is only attracted to his own kind. The sister has just stated here what I've just finished telling you. Nature's system of reproduction and survival in mammals and all human life are mammals is maintained by this separation of life forms. The rule is like is attracted and mates with like. The lion, the common house cat, are both in the feline family, but they do not mate, nor do they even get along. Neither does the dog and the wolf, the horse and the zebra, or the chicken and the turkey. The comparison can go on to demonstrate how all other life forms mate within the framework of their own breeds. This process of reproduction does not vary in nature. On the cultural level of this issue, race mixing is a form of ethnic genocide. This is very, very a powerful sentence. I'm going to read that one more time. It says, on the cultural level of this issue, race mixing is a form of ethnic genocide. When a person loves themselves, they are only attracted to an image as much like themselves as possible. Social integration for the black man indicates his frustration and rejection of his own image. No religion upholds interracial marriage. All holy books teach against it. The Creator himself is against it. Separation of tribe is inherent to all historical teachings all over the globe. Black men who are entertainers and sport performers have set a bad example of self-love because over 50% of black men, popular stars, as soon as they become rich and famous, immediately cross over and marry into the white race and hope that it will gain them more benefits, recognition, and complete acceptance into the European community. They take their fame, financial gain, political clout, and energy over to the people who continue to repress the rest of their kind. This gives them a chance to be different and special, which is what black men want to be. Negro publications like Ebony, Jet, and Chocolate Singles all promote interracial relationships with ignorant pride as if they consider it an accomplishment. Among these black men are James Earl Jones, Bobby McFerrin, Joe Morton, Charles Barkley, Julian Bond, Amari Baraka, Kareem Jabbar, Gregory Hines, Quincy Jones, Richard Pryor, James Brown, Herbie Hancock, Berry Gordy, Earl Klug, Al Jarreau, Herschel Walker, Melvin Van Peebles, Chubby Checker, Billy D. Williams, George Sanford Brown, Sidney Poitier, Rick James, Miles Davis, Dorian Harewood, Jack Johnson, Red Fox, Sammy Davis Jr., Jim Brown, Lionel Richie, Richard Roundtree, Lynn Swan, Billy Daniels, Clarence Thomas, Bill Lee, and countless of unknown others. Now, I want to stop at this point and say something to the brothers. It is imperative for us to understand for the survival of the black species on the planet, we must procreate with each other. We have someone on this planet who's trying to exterminate us through mass genocide. And we do not help ourselves by intermingling and intermarrying with this particular type of species. What we're going to have to do is wake up and realize what is going on a national level and do everything that we can to change things and begin to do what our Creator has told us to do. The sister goes on to say in chapter 178, these black women refusing to be outdone are Amon, Sadie, Grace Jones, Tuki Smith, Amon, Josephine Baker, Eartha Kitt, Diana Ross, and the list goes on and on and on of the black females that are doing the same thing or committing the same type of genocide. Regrettably, each new generation of blacks become progressively disassociated with each other. Selective amnesia takes over, and they part with their past and consider social integration a way to pave a place for themselves in the future. The purpose of racial segregation is not based on hostility or hate. It is grounded in the principles that ensure self-preservation and love of one's own kind. White males know that social integration will dismantle the Caucasian race because black blood changes the color, features, hair, and body shape of your nationality, and if race mixing in the bedroom continues, soon the melting pot will be brimming with sewage and confusion of identity. Whether it this topic comes up, both whites and blacks profess their agreement with sexual integration as a way to mesh the races. This is very, very profound information that the sister has given us, and I think we do well to heed this thing. We're going to go directly into page 181 here. It states on the homosexuality among black men, the gateway. She states the following. Interviews and evaluations done with homosexual black men reveal some startling information. Overall, gay black men say that they become homosexual as a result of confusion, sexual orientation, and unsuccessful relationship with other females when they were young. They say pursuing sensual gratification from men of their same sex is not as important as being able to have a standing relationship with an individual who accepts and does not remind them of the disapproval he experiences with women. Accordingly, when they reject manhood, they still need a sexual outlet, plus get an opportunity to rebel against social norm. They further say that homosexuality is a protection against the rejection that causes them to fear contact with women. It is easier to avoid having intimate contact with a woman if he is a woman himself. He couldn't win with them, so he joined them to avoid criticism. The majority of them reported that they had grown up in households overwhelmingly made up of several women, young and old. These men, ages are 18 to 54, 95% of them were from homes with no father, or where the father was overruled by the mother. There were routine accounts of how they dressed up in feminine clothes when they were children, or experienced a special thrill when dressing up like a woman on Halloween, or told to function like a man while not knowing what a man was supposed to do. The female life looks easier. They describe it as a feeling that comes over them, which they discover is inappropriate. They say they believe homosexuality is their destiny. He says the affection he receives from men outweighs the frustration expressed by family, friends, or society. Gay black men say that when they come out of the closet, they are inducted into the homosexual ranks by older gay black men who teach them the ropes. Surprisingly, they say they are advised the same way women say they are advised by their mothers. They are told, don't let no man use you. Don't be out there running the street. Act like a lady. Take care of yourself and don't be no fool. This is very, very disturbing to me because I know for a fact after careful and deep examination of our historical culture, even on worldwide, the acts of homosexuality did not exist. There are people who would want you to believe that we have practiced this type of behavior in ancient times. That is a lie. We did not. That came into being when we came in contact with the European nations, the people from Greece, and other people around the world. This is the type of behavior that they practiced. It was common knowledge among them. They practiced it openly. Alexander the Greek is not great. There's anything great about him. He was a homosexual. This type of behavior was not prevalent among our people. So I just want you to know, and another thing, that we are not born this way either. So let's get that part straight too. Because we come up with many, many different excuses for our behavior, and we want to act as though it's some type of medical condition to make it all right and understandable that we are able to do this. I'm going to go over one last point one more time with you. She states in the chapter 2 of Identity, crying to identify the black man or to get them to uniformly identify themselves is quite complicated. The cause of this complication is his overall unfamiliarity with his exact origin, aims, and purposes. We're going to stop there, and I'm going to make sure that you understand who you are. You are the species of people older than anyone else on earth. You have built the greatest civilizations the world has ever seen. No one has matched your accomplishments, even to this day. You are the first and only man to stand on top of the world in real life. His name was Matthew Henson, a black man. You are not a woman. You are a man. The people that have attacked you, have forced their religion and forced it upon you, who's constantly attempting to kill you, both male and female, they cannot hold the candle to you. They wish that they could be you, but that is impossible. They cannot be you. So I just wanted to state that so that you will understand who you are. There is no one that has ever built what you have built on this earth with your hands. It was you who brought the world, the light to the world. It was you who bought us and created the first iron. It was you who created the arts, the martial arts. It was you who was the greatest pianist to ever live. It was you who sang and danced and no one can match it. So why would you belittle yourself and want to mix with something that could never be as great as you? You have to understand who you are. You have to understand and grab a hold to your magnificence and realize who you are. The earth, everything on it and everything in it originally belongs to you. You look like your creator. Your creator looks like you. I find it very, very difficult to understand why would the creator create everybody on the planet in the originally black and he himself be a white man. That's impossible. That's impossible. He didn't do anything like that. And he gave you everything. And so why would you turn around and give your precious substance to something and someone who's worthless? He never brought anything to the planet but misery and death and chaos and destruction and damnation. Why would you do that? You are better than that. You have to fall in love with yourself. Do the research. Find out who you are. Read the stories of your forefathers that went before you. Read of their great armies. Read about their ability to go around the world and teach the world and attempt to civilize the world. Why would you want to be accepted by someone as early as the 10th century that had cows and chickens walking around in their house? Why? This is the truth. I'm not lying to you. And this ain't racism. This is the truth. You cannot be a racist. Racism is a plural term. And that means when one group one nation of people has so much, they're all able to suppress another nation. That is what racism is. You can't be a racist. So I hope that you have gotten something out of this today, brothers, and I want you all to wake up, and I'm going to need you all to purchase the two books. This is the final installment. The first book is The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman by Scheherazade Ali. And the second book is The Black Woman's Guide to Understanding the Black Man by Scheherazade Ali. You can get this book online. She has a whole lot of information in there that's vital that we need to understand. You spell her name, S-H-A-H-R-A-Z-A-D. Ali is A-L-I. So I need you to go and purchase them. If it was something that I said that you disagree with, please make sure you got the facts before contacting me, and we can examine the facts. You can reach me at area code 904-303-9061, or you can contact me by email at tahaka99@yahoo.com. And for those of you who have young sons and daughters, we have created one of the greatest black archives in the history of the United States. I can make sure that you have access to this information. You contact me at tarhaka99@yahoo.com, or you can call me at area code 904-303-9061. And I would just like to state one more time, black men, we're going to need to wake up. Sisters, we're going to need to remove ourselves from our slumber and realize who we are so that we can get back on track and take control of this earth. And once again, just like Mahatma Gandhi stated when he was asked what the Negro's purpose was for being on the earth, he immediately stated the following. He says the Negro's purpose for being on the earth is to bring peace to the planet. It is in your nature. We have examined the natures of other races. We have examined and witnessed the creation of atomic bombs. You know, we only have one Earth. So if you had any sense, why would you create a device that would destroy the only Earth that you got? You don't have no other Earth. But yet you are supposed to be wise. You are supposed to be the man. But then you turn around and create thousands and thousands of weapons that would destroy the very house that you live in. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Tahaka Amana L. Bay. I hope you've gotten something out of this broadcast. And until next time, we'll see you guys later.